Recorded Books presents The Champion by Elizabeth Chadwick, narrated by Jill Tanner. Chapter 1. The Breton Borders, Spring 1193. Harvey de Montreuil was in his tent with an obliging whore and a pitcher of the strongest cider he could lay hands upon, when he received the news that his half-brother, Alexander, had ridden into the camp. It had been raining since dawn, a damp grey mizzle that concealed the tourney field in the mist, and chilled the grumbling knights through their cloaks and quilted gambesons to the bone. It was springtide in the world at large, but these Breton borderlands seemed to be suspended in a time of their own. Harvey would not have been surprised to see Arthur, Guinevere, and the entire court of Camelot emerge on shadowy horses through the rain haze veiling the trees. Certainly less surprised than to be informed that the youth he had last seen as a child of 11 years old at their father's funeral, and whom he thought pursuing a career in the church, was awaiting him at the communal campfire. The soldier who had delivered the news and almost had his head bitten off for his trouble dropped the tent flap and returned to his dice game.
"Bones of Christ!"
Harvey swore, and sat up on his straw pallet. His head swam, and he had to concentrate to focus. Raising the stone cider jug to his lips, he took several hard gulps. The young woman at his side rolled onto her stomach and regarded him through a tangle of greasy blonde hair. Harvey wiped his mouth on his wrist and gave her the jug.
"You have to go?"
She looked at him over the rim. Elise was one of the many draggle-tailed women who followed the knights and soldiers from tourney to tourney, war to war, washing, cooking, pleasuring and tending. Some became wives, others belonged to any man with the money to pay for their services. Elise was one of the latter, but ambitious to change her status, and Harvey frequently took advantage of her striving. No more striving today, however.
"Unfortunately, sweetheart, I do," he replied, with a mingling of regret and irritation.
Mindful of his buzzing head, he leaned over to draw on his hose and attach them to the leather straps on his brays.
"Let me do that."
Returning the jug, Elise knelt before him to secure the trousers to his undergarment. Her fingers brushed against his naked thighs, and her full breasts undulated within her chemise. Harvey closed his eyes and swallowed.
"Stop that, you minx," he groaned. "I can't present myself to the lad with this tent pole in my breeches."
Elise giggled. Her hand closed playfully over the bulge at his crotch before he pulled away. Harvey took another swig of cider, belched, then grimaced at the sour taste that filled his mouth.
"Alexander."
He tested the name on his tongue and tried to interest his wits, but they had been bludgeoned from existence by a combination of drink and thwarted lust. Scowling, Harvey struggled into a shirt of stained yellow linen and laced the frayed drawstring. His mind held the image of a skinny, knock-kneed brat with thin features and huge hazel eyes beneath a mop of inky curls. A changeling. Or the other de Montreuil, being broad and brash and fair. But that memory was at least 7 years old, and probably as stale as the garments he had just donned.
"A bold name," said Elise huskily.
"You think so?" Harvey fished around for his boots. Actually, he was christened Alexandros to please his mother, but she was the only one who ever called him that. Elise raised his brows.
"Alexandros?"
Her tongue fumbled the ending. She had drunk as much cider as Harvey.
"It's Greek,"
Harvey said, with a shake of his head. "After he was widowed, my father went on a pilgrimage to the Holy..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?